on everything going on in baseball right now. Our baseball insider, Steve Phillips, joins us. Steve, great to chat with you. Can I start there? As a GM, was there a player that you were ever worried, what is he going to do during this break, and what version of this player am I getting when he does return?
No, the players never bother me. I just want to make sure I survive the break. I honestly didn't worry about it because, you know, the grind of the baseball season, you know, you get close to 90-some games already into the year, right? We're well beyond the halfway point. They're worn down, and so they're not in let's go party mode. They're in, you know, let me have some downtime mode. And, you know, most of the guys are with their wives and kids. And so if they go somewhere, they're going to a beach resort somewhere. It didn't bother me at all. I knew they'd come back ready to go and do their thing. And so I was not really ever worried about it from it, you know. And not worried that somebody would be too sunburned when they came back or they'd strain something while they were golfing. And, you know, in the end, I kind of wanted them to cut loose a little bit just to be able to relax and clear their minds because, you know, especially if your team's struggling, the break comes at a time where you can clear your mind, kind of get out there and stop worrying about it, stop thinking about it, enjoy, laugh, have some fun because you get so caught up sometimes in this game playing every day, right? The best thing about baseball, it's the best thing and the worst thing is that you play every day. It's the best thing because you know what? If you didn't do it today, you got a chance to do it tomorrow. It's the worst thing because, well, you play every day, and it's a grind. And so, yeah, I didn't worry about it too much. And generally, my guys tended to come back and do pretty well coming right out of the break.
So how'd you feel about the MLB All-Star game last night, Steve? You get Skeens goes one inning. He doesn't strike anyone out. We get a Shohei Ohtani home run. Is it what you expected? Is it less than what you expected? Like your overall reaction to the All-Star game?
Oh, I loved it. I love introductions. I love the introductions for the All-Star game. I had so much fun seeing everybody step forward. I didn't love the uniforms. I'll admit that. I did not love the uniforms. But, you know, I loved the Skeens matchup. Soto got the walk and brought Judge to the plate in the first inning, so we got what we wanted there. Ohtani hitting the home run is just like it's such an Ohtani thing to do. You know, somebody asked me, does Ohtani feel pressure? I'm like, Ohtani eats pressure for lunch, man. That guy, I mean, you know, he's got the $700 million contract. His buddy steals $17 million from him, and he's unaffected by everything. He just goes out there and plays. And so, you know, I think he's fantastic. I thought the Jaron Duran at bat was great. I liked that he got an opportunity to do something in the game. Soto played well with a hit, driving in a couple runs, a walk, made a nice play in the outfield. The whole jerks and profile to a single and a ball hit into the corner. I mean, there were a lot of really, really good play. Trey Turner's diving play up the middle. I like that they mic'd up the three Phillies infielders, and which was, I think, fun to listen to them chatter. Then Turner made the diving play. I think we got some personality from the players there, and we got a good ball game. And how about the pace of the game? 2 hours, 38 minutes or something like that. Mm-hmm. Fastest All-Star game, I think, since 1988 is what I heard. And so I think that all of it, I thought, was really an enjoyable watch.
Our baseball insider, Steve Phillips, joining us on Overdrive. And now with the All-Star game over, Steve, the focus is on the second half of the season and the trade deadline, which will be in less than 2 weeks. For the Toronto Blue Jays, it's sounding more and more like, unless it's an expiring contract, that they're going to keep their guys. When you look at and you evaluate this organization from top to bottom, what they're doing on the field at the major league level, what their farm system is like, is that the approach that you would take as they try to regroup and be a contender in 2025?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I would trade the expiring contracts and anybody else who's underachieving on a multi-year contract. So if there's a deal to be made, maybe a bad deal, bad money for bad money contract, or there's a George Springer trade, I'd consider it. And see what's out there. But, you know, I don't suspect they're going to find that right now. It's more of an off-season deal sometimes to make those deals work. But in the meantime, while I'm looking to sell, I would look to buy. I think they have to be a buyer and a seller. I mean, you've got a market with motivated sellers, with players that are available that aren't going to be free agents next year, but they're players who have, you know, controllable contracts. I don't think you can wait until the offseason to try to get access to those players. You got to access them right now. And so I personally think they need to sell and buy. You know, they should be in on the Garrett Crochets. They should be in on on Taylor Ward, outfielder from the Angels. They should be in on Luis Robert from the White Sox and Jazz Chisholm, and try to bring some of those guys in. Orion McMahon would be a nice pickup for them. Left-handed hitting third baseman, that's what they need. They need balance to their lineup. Chisholm can bat left-handed. You've got, you know, you can bring in two left-handed batters. Now, you know, you're going to have to give up talent in your minor league system to do it, but you can replenish it with some of the trades you're making, and you're going to probably give up more than you bring in because we're talking about bringing in some more impact position players. But I really do think that they're going to keep Bichette, you're going to keep Guerrero. You've got, you know, Kirk coming back behind the plate. You've got Varsho under control and Springer under control. You got to go get a center fielder. You got to find an everyday third baseman. And I think that there's some of those available. You've got to be a player. And if they could land even Chisholm or McMahon, you know, one of the two left-handed bats, it would go a long way to helping them rebuild and be ready for next year.
I guess, Steve, it all sounds great in theory, and this is something that we hear from the Jays so often. They were in on this. They were in on that. They just missed it. Like, really what it comes down to, they need to execute off the field, and they need to execute on the field. It's not happening on the field this year. Is it realistic to expect that other teams will value what they have in the minors and they're willing to give up these players and send them to the Blue Jays? Like, and can that actually make the difference and turn things around in 1 year for this team? Because they say they want to compete next year. It seems like there's a lot of work that needs to be done between now and then.
Yeah. I think that it is threading a needle. There's no question. It'll be threading a needle, especially in a market with a lot of buyers. And it's a seller's market, so the asking price is going to be a little bit higher. But part of what you're getting is you're getting the player, you know, for what he could be for you, but you're also keeping him away from your competition. So I think there's some part of that that they have to understand that, sure, the asking price is going to be high, but, you know, at every turn when the asking price was high, they went in a different direction. I mean, they tried to get Ohtani, and I think they would have done the $700 million deal that he got. But, you know, the Bellinger market, and I get why they backed out on Bellinger, but, you know, they pivoted to Kiermaier when the Bellinger thing came back to a price point where I think they might have made a deal if they could. And so, you know, I think that you know, they've got a lot of work to do. There's no question about that. And, you know, I think that you've got to start the process now. Even if you don't get it, you've got to play the game. And you're not going to get anybody if you don't try to get them. And so if I'm the Jays and Ross Atkins, I am in there and I am inquiring to buy as much as I am an offering to sell.
Steve Phillips, our baseball insider, joining us on Overdrive. So which team faces the most pressure at the deadline to improve their club?
I think the Yankees right now. You know, I think, you know, the thing about the Yankees, they're sort of fading. They're fading fast. And I think Brian Cashman is faced with needing a starting pitcher, needing relief help, and offense. That's a lot to go out in the trade market. Now, he doesn't need to get the best people available, but they need some length and depth to their lineup. They're okay if they could add blenders. They've got aircraft carriers in the rotation and aircraft carriers in the lineup. They need some blenders to just lengthen things out a little bit for themselves. Some extra arms in the bullpen. You know, Jimmy Garcia would be a great fit for the Yankees to be able to consider doing something there. Kikuchi could be a great fit for the Yankees. If they want to bring him in and add a lefty to their rotation. And so, you know, they've got guys that may run out of gas a little bit. I think adding a sixth starter for the Yankees would be important. So I think Cashman, with what's going on with the Orioles, and the Orioles, you know, being a game up on them right now. And I think the Dodgers, you know, their starting pitching is in shambles, and they limped into the All-Star break. Now, I don't think that anybody's going to catch them, and they're still the best team in that division. But if they have any visions of really going on in the postseason, they're going to have to get some depth to that starting pitching right now.
You know, Steve, just going back to the Yankees, and I don't know how much they're working on the premise that this could be a one-and-done situation for Juan Soto, but when he comes out and gets asked, who's the one player you want to play with, and he says Shohei Ohtani, I'm sure that goes over real well in your market.
Yeah, I think that you know, everybody would probably say that, but I do know that Soto does like New York. He's thriving in New York. He and Aaron Judge clearly have a really good relationship, as they were, you know, talking during the game yesterday on the field. And I'm not worried about it. The Dodgers aren't going to be in on Soto. I mean, the one thing we know is they need to really spend money on pitching, if, you know, and they're, you know, just put it all back together for them. They've got a lot of holes in that rotation. They've got, you know, Kershaw. How many more years is he going to play? Walker Buehler's free agent at the end of the year. You know, Yamamoto right now, that's scary. When a guy has a capsule injury, that is a scary injury for me with a shoulder capsule that I don't really know. You know, put him on a 60-day injured list now. He can't come back to the middle of August, and I'm not even sure what that looks like afterwards. So I do think the Dodgers, you know, have some work to do still to try to get things going. So I don't imagine they're going to be in on the Soto market.
So we just had MLB All-Star weekend. The draft is associated with that. And, you know, I'm sure that's an area that the Jays would like to improve upon as, you know, basically since 2016, they've made, I don't know, nine first-round picks. I think only two of those guys have played, and it's Pearson and Manoah. Now they draft a right-handed pitcher with a lot of upside in Trey Savage. What do you know about him, and what do you think his upside could be, Steve?
Yeah, I know a number of scouts who thought that he was the best pitcher in the draft. Now, he didn't have the best stuff, but he is legitimately a guy who knows how to pitch. He's got great pitchability, great feel for sequencing pitches, a feel for his off-speed stuff, command of his pitches, and he's a fast-track pitcher. So he's a guy that could move quickly to get to the major leagues. And so there's a lot. I mean, I think he was a really good pick for where they were in the draft, and a lot of people were praising that selection for them. So I think it was a good spot for them to be able to get another arm of the organization, and especially with Tiedemann dinged up a little bit now, Manoah having surgery. You know, they've had their fair share of injuries to some of those pitchers. And so, but Savage is a guy that's very highly thought of in this draft class.
Well, Steve, you'll be, you're always a busy guy, but you'll especially be a busy guy over the next couple of weeks with the trade deadline and the push towards the second half of the season. So we're looking forward to chatting with you in the future and your appearances on SportsCenter. We appreciate you coming here on Overdrive.
Terrific. I'll be on with Jay Onwright tonight, and I'm writing a report card for the first half of the Blue Jays that'll be on .ca tomorrow.
Are you Professor Phillips?
Wow. Yeah. Yes, just, I am. I'm wearing my wire-rimmed glasses and smoking a pipe.
As long as it's not robot AI Phillips doing the hit and it's actually you, Steve.
Right. Yeah, we want the real deal.
And no promises.
Awesome. Thanks, Steve. Appreciate this.
You got it, guys. My pleasure. Anytime.
There you have it, our Baseball Insider, Steve Phillips.